Hey, and welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR. I've got a lot to talk about going on in the Big Ten. Got my guy, Burke, from Often Daunted, who he's a basketball fan, and he's paying attention to the basketball Hoosiers, but he's got some football.
Dude, have you heard about this sport called football, though? It's pretty fun, dude. I've sat down. I've started watching it. It gets intense.
rumors are that football is exploding around high schools in Indiana right now, and
you know, in 49 other states, man, it's just football.
students are currently taking down their basketball hoops off their red barns and putting up field goal posts
there you go. Dude, it's good. It's such a weird time to be a Hoosier fan right now. By far the least daunted September a Hoosier fan has had.
There you go.
We're usually just already resting on the optimism of hope springs eternal for basketball season. But no, this isn't the case, man. Sick showing up. He's backed up everything he said. And this is the basketball episode. But before, I want to talk to all those haters out there who are like, oh, he's gone next year. That isn't an option. Like, we are going to pay. Look at Indiana's bank. It's comparable. We never had a reason to ever give anybody money in football. And everything that Sig is doing is, it's just a new reason every week this guy gives us. We're gonna break the bank for him, and maybe at the cost of a little basketball. Here's hoping that isn't the case, but I mean, it's something special that this guy's got going. But we're not here for that. Let you take it away. Let's get into some ball.
I figured, with the basketball episode, having a Hoosier fan on, we might mention football for a second, but we also, got John in the chat. He's excited as well. Hoosiers.
There you go, John. That's what I'm talking about.
There we go. So we got one Hoosier fan in the house. I do want to remind everybody, this is technically going to be a call-in show as well as our kind of Big Ten media recap takeaways episode type of stuff. So if you are somebody who's watching live, I know we don't always have a ton of live viewers on Thursdays, but if you're somebody who's watching live and you want to call in and talk to us and give us your takes and what you found interesting at media days, or if you just are like, Tom Izzo looks way too tired, you know, whatever it is, I don't care. Whatever it is, call in, let us know. We'd love to talk to you about Big Ten media days. We're going to be here for probably about an hour. We might go a little over if we have enough callers, but while we wait and see if we get callers, we'll go ahead and talk about some of the media stuff that happened at Big Ten media days. The first thing that we have is the preseason media poll. Burke, the preseason media poll came out, and long behold, at the top, it is the battle for Indiana. You got the Boilermakers, the Hoosiers, number one, number two. I know you're probably feeling a little biased, but just give me your honest take here. You know, should Purdue be above Indiana at the top of the poll?
I mean, it's a preseason poll. Nothing matters, but I would have appreciated to see Indiana's talented roster be shown a little more with that one spot. But I told myself, you're putting on your objective hat, you're going at it, and you're gonna support Purdue today. Like you're gonna be objective. You're not gonna support them. You're gonna be objective. And objectively, Painter has earned the right to do this. Like he's earned the cachet that comes with everything he's gotten out of the players he's got. Now, that being said, I am going to say that cachet may have a time limit just with the nature of the transfer portal. This is the first Purdue team we are seeing post Zach Edey in the transfer portal era. And, you know, Zach Edey can cover a lot of the, underlying issues that may be present that you just don't know that surface over the course of a season without him. I mean, not going after the transfer portal is a problem. It is in today's game. You need to go out and get the talent to address any of your shortcomings. There is just not a barometer for what their true shortcomings are this year because so much ran through Zach Edey. And if it wasn't running through Zach Edey, it was running through Mason Gillis. It was running through Lance Jones. It was all of the production is gone. I'm not saying if there is one guy who can like fill in that production right away and it's just done. It is Matt Painter. He can get that out of just the average Joe. Like, yeah. I think I could get a bucket if Painter was coaching me, but it is going to be telling. This is the first time that there isn't Zach to navigate not addressing these issues.
Yeah, I like it for Hoosier fans. I think that it's kind of like that extra incentive and motivation to where, you know, Hoosier fans are like, man, we're right there. We're number two. Obviously, like you said, it really doesn't mean anything. It's just media opinion and stuff like that at this point. But still, like, you're right there. You're number two. And those Boilermakers are still just that one dreaded spot ahead. And so I think it's good motivation for the players. And, you know, Matt Painter with
Keep going, you're finishing this idea.
Matt Painter was talking a lot at media days about Trey Kaufman Wren, and he made the statement. He said, you know, I think by the end of the year everybody's going to realize Trey Kaufman Wren is one of, if not the best big men in the Big Ten, which, you know, he started for two years now. I think he started a couple games, at least a few, 2 years ago. And so he's been starting, and so he has playing experience, so you can't deny him of that. But at the end of the day, he's not 7'4", he's not 300 pounds, he's not Zach Edey, who, you know, most guys who are 7'4", 300 pounds move like trees. Zach Edey had a little bit more grace to him than moving like a tree. That's an understatement, but, you know, the way he was able to move and the foot speed that he had and stuff like that, it was just incredible. And so Trey Kaufman Wren, he has really big shoes to fill, you know, metaphorically and literally, really big shoes to fill. In Zach Edey. Now, I've been a critic of Trey Kaufman Wren for a little while now, and it's not because I don't believe he can be great or he can be good. I just haven't seen it yet, and I'm one of those people that I want to see you do it before I declare that it's going to happen. So it's really, really interesting for me. Did you want to say something, Burke?
Oh, I can speak on that from the media day. You saw that Painter had addressed that he is going to go smaller. He's going to get Cam Heidi in there at the four, and we'll probably talk more about it in the media day. But it's going to be interesting to see them play. They are playing small ball after playing what will be arguably the biggest ball college basketball has ever known.
Yeah, and honestly, if Braden Smith can run a team playing small ball from, you know, playing Zach Edey ball and stuff like that to winning the Big Ten, like, major props to him, because that would just show how dominant of a point guard he is and how fantastic he is. So if that can happen, great. If not, you know, then Purdue might be looking for some different answers during the season. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with this Purdue team this year. Burke,
I was going to ask you, Michigan and Ohio State right here next to each other, much like Indiana and Purdue.
Yeah.
And the fun thing is that it is at a spot that is arguably, you would think, that's the breakoff for the tournament.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about Ohio State. I like some of their talent. I like some of the pieces that they brought in. I don't know what they're going to do with the three spot. There's talk about Micah Parrish coming in there and being that spot. I don't know if he's quite Big Ten starter material, so I do have some concern about that. However, I do think that Ohio State has potential to have one of the best backcourts in all of the Big Ten with Michi Johnson and Bruce Thornton. Now, Michi Johnson needs to play within the offense and play within himself. At South Carolina, he had a huge usage rate, but some of that was also because he brought the ball down the court and just dribbled around for 10 seconds and shot. So you're gonna have a really big usage rate when that happens.
Yeah.
So, but I do want to see him playing within the offense and doing the things that he's supposed to do. But I think it can work. I mean, Jake Diebler, he showed us last year, he is a very good in-game coach. Now is the challenge of not just being a good in-game coach, but also, you know, putting together a roster. Many of us Ohio State fans felt like we were going to have many of the same players back. You know, we were losing We were losing Jamison Battle and thinking, oh, okay, well, if that's all we lose, we'll be okay. Well, and then you lose Felix Okpara, and then you, after that, you lose Roddy Gale, or one of those two came first. I can't remember, but you lose those two guys, and you're like, oh, shoot, you know, what's going to happen with the starting lineup here? And to Jake Diebler's credit, he went out there and got a guy from Duke, got a guy from Kentucky, two players that have really high potential, but they just didn't meet it at their past Duke programs because it's really, really hard to start at those programs. But arguably would have been, would have been contending for starter spots this year. So to me, I think it's just all about who Jake Diebler is as a coach. And I know it's his first year, so I'm not going to completely judge him on his first year. But if Ohio State comes out and flops and they don't have good rotation and their players don't look like they're ready to play, then I'm going to look at it and say, you know what? Michigan hired the right guy and Ohio State hired the wrong guy. Now, will I declare that for all of his career? No, but at least for the time being, I'll say, you know, it was probably smarter what Michigan did going up and get getting Dusty May rather than Jake Diebler. If that happens, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, I personally, I'd put Michigan in front of Ohio State right now. I know that's kind of like, you know, not really the homer take people would probably expect, but they brought in a lot of good transfers, man. I think Dusty May is more seasoned of a coach than Jake Diebler. Not going to say better.
Certainly.
I think he's more seasoned as a coach. He's gotten a team to the Final Four. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't see a glaring weakness in this Michigan team. I see some spots they could definitely be better. But I don't see a glaring weakness. And I see possibly the best front court in the Big Ten in Danny Wolf and Vlad Goldin.
Yeah. And just I want to give Ohio State fans a little something. Like, this may be Michael L. Ware recency bias talking, but five-star McDonald's All-Americans in their sophomore year, those are guys you want to get. Aaron Bradshaw, like, I have high expectations for him, but that is, again, just my recency bias. You guys also don't have Mike Woodson in his front court development, but I think that Aaron Bradshaw.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, we got to see it with Jake Diebler. We saw a very, very good promise last year. Beat Purdue, went to Michigan State, won that game, you know, almost beat Illinois in the tournament. Like, I mean, those are three really, really tough teams, especially in those environments to get wins. And I mean, Illinois literally went on to win the tournament. So, you know, that's impressive. Like I said, just got to see it this season as well. I believe we can see it. Just got to see it as well. So,
yeah.
Anything else in the media poll before we move on? I know we don't have time to touch on every single team, but anything else, Burke?
Just looking through it. Again, UCLA at 3 is kind of surprising to me. They're getting a lot of credit for what they did in the Pac-12. We'll get into Mick Cronin in the Big Ten media segment, but he's playing Big Ten ball in the Big Ten now. He was playing Big Ten ball in everywhere but the Big Ten before. So I just think there's going to be some growing pains that nobody else appears to.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. Kent is very high on UCLA. He's all about him this season. I think they brought in some good transfers, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. So, all right, Burke, let's move on to the preseason player awards. So we had Braden Smith get the player of the year. I thought it was unanimous, somebody said, but I think Umar Ballo and a couple other players were also getting some votes, so I don't think it was quite unanimous. Maybe he was unanimous first team. That's probably what I read. Freshman Dylan Harper is the freshman preseason player of the year. Thought that was interesting, and that he is the freshman player of the year, and Steve Peichel brought Ace Bailey to media days. Not that, you know, that really means anything, but I just thought it was interesting.
No, it does. It does. It's okay, what weird. Does it mean then? It's all the whole Rutgers situation. And then you saw in the round table, like, they kind of were big brothering him, like the two brothers ganged up on him. It was something to see. Again, we'll get into it later.
We'll talk about it when we get to the round table discussion and stuff like that. So, and then Umar Ballo, your guy, the preseason transfer of the year. He is also in the first team with Braden Smith, Peyton Sanford, Bruce Thornton, and Dylan Harper. Also in the second team is Jackson Shellstad, Ace Baldwin Jr., Great Asabar, Ace Bailey, and Dawson Garcia. I have thoughts, but I'm going to let you go first, Burke. What's your thoughts on these awards?
My thoughts on the awards are, first team, everyone's going to say I need to bash on Braden, but Braden's earned this. Like, he's the only guy returning from last year's first team. He's earned it. I can't say that I expect him to be here at the end of the year, but I can say right now I have no qualms with him as player of the year because he is the only returning all Big Ten player. If Purdue is competitive, Braden Smith will absolutely be the player of the year because I don't know how else they'd be competitive unless he is having a player of the year season. Freshman Dylan Harper makes sense. I mean, maybe Ace Bailey just because his size and everything, but it's all going to run through Dylan. So, Umar Ballo makes sense. He's going to dominate in the front court. There's
no any other, was there any other possible choice for transfer in your mind?
Dude, I'm so biased. Like, if people point who else would you think? Like, looking at this list, you see Asabor would be the first one up, right?
You know, I'm not trying to be biased. I would have maybe, you know, gave a thought to Michi Johnson. You know, he was a second team SEC last year, and he's coming back to Ohio State again. So, you know, I wouldn't have been surprised if he got a vote or two. Seems like Umar Ballo kind of ran away with it. So,
see, I don't know. Yeah, like, I don't know much to like enough about Michi's game to make that call. But Greg Osabor, it's just everybody's expecting him to make the jump from the Mountain West to the Big Ten, and it's just all that production's going to come. He got all those points by playing bully ball in a vastly smaller conference. Mm-hmm. And bully ball is like what our bread and butter is.
Yeah.
Just that's not Indiana. That's like conference wide bully ball. And I don't see how he would be up there. Umar Ballo. I mean, again, selfishly, I'm going to throw out Miles Rice just because of the Pac-12 freshmen. Yeah, all coming in like, but no qualms with any of that. As far as second team, I would have selfishly, of course, I want to see another Hoosier representative like Malik Renew. Would have loved to see him on here. Like everything that I'm reading about TKR, Trey Kaufman Wren, is they want him to be Malik Renew offensively. So I'm like, I love that. If their ceiling for TKR is already Malik Renew, like I'm okay with that. Of course, TKR probably can close out defensively a little quicker, swifter, but that's what we were working on all off season. Would have liked possibly a Northwestern representative. I feel like, yeah, the boo-boo era is over. Northwestern's going to come back to reality a little, but maybe a Brooks Barnheiser representation would have been nice.
Yeah, no, Brooks Barnheiser would have been a good point. I agree. I think also the Illinois guys, Phillip is bringing them up. You got Kylan Bosmo, Kasperis Jakunis, however you pronounce it. I think.
Hey, if you listen to my last episode, I had Sonny on and yeah. We talked about Kasperis. He got me pretty high on him. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody told me to just call him KJ, so I just need to do that. Kylan Boswell and Will Riley. Why can't everybody just be named Will Riley? That is so much easier if we could have that. But I also think Frankie Fiddler would have had a little bit of a good argument to be transfer of the year. You know, he's coming into Michigan State, and that's not a place that normally takes transfers. So bringing him in, he scored, 21.2 points per game last season. So I don't think I would have voted for him over Umar Ballo, but definitely would have been somebody, you know, would have at least given some consideration to. And on top of that, Vlad Golden as well. He's been to a Final Four, very good career over at Florida Atlantic. So that's my thoughts. Most of my thoughts about the second team are like, is this the team that they just went to? Like, hey, these teams are going to be bad, so let's give their players some credit first. Not Selstad and Ace Bailey. All right, yeah, I'm not talking.
I was going to say Ace belongs there. Right. I don't know enough Ace about Baldwin West Jr., Coast teams.
Like Ace Baldwin Jr., Great Osabor, and Dawson Garcia. Like those guys, they're going to be on terrible teams. Like I'm sorry. I was rooting for Minnesota last year. And I do want Minnesota to be good this year, but they're not going to be good. Washington is not going to be good. Danny Sprinkle is going to last maybe 3 years at Washington. It's actually just going to be however long they want to keep him before they have to pay his buyout. And then Ace Baldwin Jr., like, I like Mike Rhodes. I don't have anything against Mike Rhodes. I just, like, he basically brought everybody, the same players, back and didn't really do anything. So... And the entire time at Big Ten Media Days, he's like, we just got to be different. It's like, no, dope. Like, don't be different. You need to do what Big Ten teams do, which is.
And if you are going to be different, be different in the other direction.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, we'll be different. We'll go get the worst big man in the league. It's like, dude, what do you think? Like, you're not going to last very long. What's his name? The old coach at Penn State. He built this program up and played, you know, booty ball with these players. And like, he did something different. But guess what? He also did something different with getting tough guys in there who go out and play hard for his team. I'm not saying the guys that Mike Rhodes has aren't tough. You know, I'm not going to judge anybody on that. But they're not going to be able to bang down low with the big guys that are in the Big Ten right now. I mean, you got Trey Kaufman Wren, Umar Ballo, and tons of big men. Great Osabor, I think, is going to be able to take care of business against them. So I like Ace Baldwin Jr. a lot. I don't like it.
Yeah. On the second team, So we had two co-Big Ten freshmen of the year last year. Out of those two, who do you see making that second team?
Which two? I'm sorry.
Mackenzie Mbako and Owen Freeman.
Yeah, I definitely think one of those guys should have been in the second team, definitely over Osabor. And it's hard to put Ace Bailey in there. I know he's going to be a lottery pick, but he's still a freshman. So
yeah.
Part of me wants to give it to somebody. Same with Dylan Harper. But if I was going to put one of those two in there, I'd probably put Mbako in there just because I feel like he has more natural talent and came on this at the end of the season a little bit more and helped. I don't want to say help the team win more because that would be disrespectful to Owen Freeman. But I think just overall his game grew throughout the year and you really saw, you know, what his potential could be at the end of last season. Owen Freeman, I think he has a lot of potential too, but I feel like the Owen Freeman we got his freshman year is essentially the Owen Freeman we're going to get most of his college career.
The ability to go out and grab tools is capped compared to Mbako.
Yeah. So, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I just look at it and I look at Mbako and I'm like, this guy can be an NBA lottery pick.
People are looking at his season stat line and they don't realize how the season started and ended. Like you look at his season stat line and he still like had a stat line worthy of Big Ten freshman of the year. But that is because he was so cold and got so hot. If we just start where we ended last season, it's going to be something crazy this year for him.
Yeah. That makes sense. All right. Any other thoughts on this? And then we can get to a commercial break and then talk about maybe some coaches and players and stuff like that. Anything else, Burke?
Nope. Let's get on.
All right. We'll hit a commercial break really fast. We'll be right back and we will talk about players and coaches that stood out to us at Media Day. Stay with us. CBB Analytics isn't just another stat site. It's your ultimate destination for in-depth college basketball analysis used by fans and even the coaches. It has comprehensive stats for men's and women's basketball across Division 1 through 3 dating all the way back 2018. From shooting percentage to game recap, CBB Analytics has it all. Try CBB Analytics for free or pay for a tier to take your basketball knowledge to the next level. Back here on the Big Ten Huddle, got my guy Burke from Often Daunted with us. You can check me out, JR's Rankings, over on Twitter. Also check me out over at the Voice of College Football Ohio State channel and the OHIO podcast on Sunday nights at 8 o'clock. We are going to be talking about players and coaches that stood out to us at Big Ten Media Days. Burke, you can really take this whatever direction you want. If you want to start with the roundtables, you can do that. Or if you just want to start with maybe the individual segments where they're talking to the players.
We need to start with roundtables because it all just stems off from there.
Sure, go ahead.
Dude, I want to start with the Pikel, Cronin, and the Willard roundtable.
Yeah, Cronin was feeling himself, dude.
Cronin was in his bag. And you know what? If you would have caught me 6 weeks ago, I would have been so against this. After having supported a guy who's absolutely lives in his bag for 6 weeks, I kind of like the move. That being said, they were bullying Pikel. Pikel was being bullied on the Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
They were running Kevin Willard and Mick Cronin, just going back in the day. They like synced up and they were running 2-on-1 on them. Like every time he mentioned, like every time they mentioned, dealing with freshmen, you'll learn about that. Do you remember those? And they were talking to Pikel because he just got his like 2-star freshman. And they were like, you know, when you deal with these stars as freshmen, and then Willard would look up and be like, yeah, you'll learn about that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my God, that's so condescending the way they're talking to him. But
you can definitely sense the jealousy between Willard and Cronin, right? I mean, Cronin, like, he tried to win last year with a bunch of young players, and he's sitting next to a guy who's getting all this hype with two super young players on his team. And so, you know, in his mind, I mean, I have no idea what's actually going through his mind, but to me, in his mind, he's like, oh, you really think Steve Pikel, you know, this guy can come into the Big Ten and win this conference and do all this stuff with these young players? In reality, like, it's not all their young players. They do, I mean, they have good players on that team. I think Jeremiah Williams is a really good piece. We didn't see him all of last year, unfortunately, but I think that he's going to be a really good piece to this team. And you're exactly right. I mean, there was just so much, like, condescending, trying to like put him down,
yeah,
type of stuff. And like bizarre. I walked away actually like feeling a little bit better about Willard, just because Willard, I didn't think was as bad as Cronin, but you could definitely tell that Willard was like, you know, hey, I got a good freshman too. Like, talk about my freshman.
He wasn't as bad because he was in the little brother role of, like, it's so crazy. Cronin comes in and Willard's already his little brother. It's alarming from that. I also, from them, I was, it was crazy to hear how both Willard and Cronin are turning to the portal for senior leadership. They both made a point of that while talking in the round table. You need to utilize this senior leadership. And it's like the whole, like, you want your senior to be a program guy. You want your leadership to be guys in the program, guys who know how this coach operates, guys who know how to sell this coach to the guys who need a little comforting into it. And yeah, I just thought that was strange that both those guys referenced that. And
Did you think it was strange at all how, like, they paired some of them too? Like, they had Jake Diebler with Chris Collins and Fran McCaffrey. Like, Jake Diebler and Chris Collins, like, those two worked together. Fran McCaffrey did not.
He was
kind of the oddball out in that roundtable discussion. And I'm not trying to say anybody didn't do a good job or anything like that, because they're just talking about their teams. But, like, I felt like I didn't really get anything out of, like, Eric Musselman. Like, I have, you know, a long list of, like, Mike Woodson notes. I have a long list of, like, Danny Sprinkle notes. I have a long list of all these guys, and my notes for Eric Musselman are, like, full circle, added 11 transfers, leveraging NBA talent, focused on managing team fatigue. Like, hey, I feel like I learned nothing about USC.
With him, it is so crazy. There is one individual in that whole building returning. One individual, like, staff, players, and that is Harrison Hornery. And to those of you who don't know who that is, that's just fine, because he averaged like 3.5 points for USC last year.
Yeah,
you're bringing in 11, I don't want to say children, because they make far more than me right now. But that you're bringing in these young guys into LA, and you're like, Harrison Hornery, show us the ropes. Like, show us class, show us navigating the clubs, show us navigating everything, dude, living in LA, show us. It's crazy. Everyone's like, oh, he's the transfer magician. That's just such a daunting task. Like, there is not I don't think there is a worse city you could try to bring in 11, 8, 17 to 23 year olds and be like, let's go win a title.
Well, and that's what I wonder too. Like, some of these places that are trying to bring in, like, like, trying to bring in a bunch of transfers and stuff like that, does it work better in certain areas than it does others? Like, because in my mind, I'm with you. It's like, you're bringing in 11 transfers into basically Hollywood, like Los Angeles. Like, you really think
you're giving them enough money to get in trouble in Hollywood?
Yeah. Meanwhile, you have Iowa City, where Peyton Sanford's talking about it, and he was like, yeah, you know, I have this family member, this family member. He's like, but in Iowa, you know, basically everybody's your family member. And it's like,
yeah,
it's not that way different in world, Los dude. Angeles.
Different world, same conference, dude.
It is. So I do want to talk about Peyton Sanford for a minute. I was very impressed by Peyton Sanford. You know, Fran McCaffrey said that Sanford probably could have signed and been on a two-way contract with multiple different teams, and they decided not to do that. And, you know, is that true, or is that Fran McCaffrey, bringing his guy up and trying to say better about him? I have no idea, but, you know, him coming back makes me think maybe he truly does believe there's some more talent on this Iowa team than maybe some people are giving credit for, because most people are picking Iowa to be middle of the pack or worse. But if I'm Peyton Sanford, I'm not coming back to be middle of the pack or worse, right? Like, I know his brother's on the team, but if I had the opportunity to get a two-way contract, I'm not risking injury for middle of the pack or worse in the Big Ten.
You know what you would risk injury for, though? A bajillion shots. And he is going to have a bajillion shots.
If Fran McCaffrey was like, hey, you see those Murray twins? We're going to turn you into them.
You are both now. Your brother, he ain't cutting it. You are now both of them. On Fran, we were talking before when we were just thinking about what topics to discuss, and we were like, if we could truly ask them any question, Fran, I need to know if Thad Matta is legally adopting these guys with how quick they are running out of this building. All of Fran's children leaving for Daddy Thaddy. It's alarming.
Yeah, no, and they asked him about that. I admittedly, I've not watched a ton of interviews of Fran in the past, so maybe this is just how Fran is, but, I'm
not. No, you just have to watch 5 minutes of him coach to kind of get it.
Right. Like, he just seems so down in the dumps, man. Like, when they were asking about his kids, he's like, well, we had 4 good years out of them, and they moved on, and I cherish those years. It's like, it's like he lost his kids almost. And so I still want to know what exactly the drama was that went on behind all of that. I know Connor is in Indianapolis now, and Roy's at Butler now. And obviously Caitlin Clark, she's playing for the Fever and everything like that. So I know there's probably a little bit of a tie going over there, but then they started talking about his son who's in high school. Like, his son's not coming to play for him. Like, if you look into recruiting at all, his son's not coming to Iowa. Dude,
3 of them are at Butler. 3 of them.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So I don't know what, like, I get it. Like, Connor's over there, but still, like, it all seems so weird.
Maybe he saw the writing on the nepotism wall.
Handling it well.
He saw the writing on the nepotism wall.
Yeah. He saw what happened with Brian Ferentz and Kirk Ferentz at Iowa football, and he was like, oh, don't want that. So,
love seeing Michigan take the same route now.
Yeah, because isn't his son
did he get Charlie just joined the ball? Yeah, he joined the squad this offseason.
Yeah, but did he get a scholarship? May.
I don't know if they got a scholarship.
I thought it was like a Steven Izzo type thing.
If you were the head coach and you had your son on the team, I don't think you'd want to give him a scholarship. You'd be like, we can more than pay for school, and yeah. I want the scholarship to go to somebody who I will actually play. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So Johnny Kim is in the comments here, and he's saying, you can announce that I'm offering 2-to-1 odds, bet $50 to win my $100 versus my $100 to win their $50 to anyone who thinks their team will finish with a better record in the Big Ten Conference. I assume he means than UCLA. Johnny, you can do this if you want, man. I don't care. I'm not going to hold the money for you. I don't like being the middleman in bets. I've done it before. It's not worked out well. So, I mean, if you find somebody in the comments that you want to be betting with, I mean, go for it, but I'm not going to be holding the money. I've done this before, and it's not turned out well for me. So
I'd love to see the UCLA comment. Of course I would. Of course I would. We're going to I welcome all the listeners. I welcome the fans of UCLA. So pumped you're here. It's going to be fun learning how to hate each of your fan bases individually. It's going to be fun while you guys learn how to hate us. I'm excited to really get to know these guys. And UCLA, they were an optimistic bunch, but so was their football fans.
Yeah. Well, I think they have much more to be excited about than football this year. So I think UCLA is going to do pretty well this year. I don't know if they're going to win the conference, but I think they're going to be at the very least a top 5 team in the conference this year.
I will say.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Is Cronin during the sun? I turned left on Sunset Line. That was pretty damn good.
Yeah, that was really
that
good
was line. that was pretty good.
He had some good lines. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, he was feeling himself in that round table. Oh, like, yeah. I'm all for the confidence.
Yeah, I love a character, man. I want more villains in my life.
Right. Yeah. It did give me a little bit of like Lincoln Riley vibes a little bit from the football media days, because Lincoln Riley was talking about, talking about the blue blood status and stuff like that and everything. And so then you got Mick Cronin talking about the 11 championships. And of course, when he was talking about it, he was talking about 1 out of 12. So it's not like he was like lording it over anybody, but yeah, just, I got a little bit of Lincoln Riley vibes from Mick Cronin, which, like you said, I'm not necessarily against it. I don't want all these coaches to be dry. I like some coaches with some personality, and it gives us something to talk about. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right, let's do another commercial, and then we will come back and we will do some more takeaways and stuff like that. Remember, if you want to call into the show, I put the link in the comments there, and it's also in the description. You can call in and let us know if you had anything you wanted to point out from Media Days. So here's a commercial. We'll be right back. The Big Ten Huddle is brought to you by the College Huddle, the largest fan-led college sports podcast community on the internet. With contributors from 70 different schools, you will get in all kinds of analysis from all over the country. Go visit thecollegehuddle.com to find your team and read articles from all across so many fans and contributors. The College Huddle is fan-made, fan-driven, and fan-fueled. Philip brought up one of the best comments, that he doesn't get to hate the Oregon court anymore because they changed it. I unfortunately have not seen what they changed it to. Did you see what they changed?
They made it. It had to be an agreement with the Big Ten. They had to be like, this is ridiculous. I mean, it's still crazy. It's just a light green. It's far more palatable. Far more palatable.
Yeah, I still hate it.
Yeah, yeah. It's still just terrible. It's crazy. It's tacky. It's terrible, but. It's a mid-major move for sure.
Here, I'll bring it up so everybody else can see it too. I hate when I'm looking at something, or when somebody else is looking at something. Yeah, I don't see it.
Look at this thing. Mid-major nonsense right there.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I know Oregon likes to try to do different things. I am thankful that the entire court is not like brown trees anymore.
No, still, yeah, yeah. Like, you know, they had to have been like, yeah, Oregon, you're coming. But that shit ain't gonna fly. That stuff ain't gonna fly. Talking about their prior.
They probably had like some kind of compromise. They were like, so what if we just made the trees more like, you know, transparent, you know, yeah, make them exactly. Clean so that way they fit in with the outside. But
yeah. Just crazy to have the green lines, like green lines on the green. I mean, it's a home court advantage for sure.
That's true. I never asked your opinion. What do you think about the Minnesota race court? Do you like it or not?
Minnesota,
the race court, the barn.
I don't know. I would like to sit next to it. I bet that would be awesome for a game. It'd be a truly unique basketball watching experience. But other than that, I don't. I mean,
no, I think it'd be cool to sit next to it. I just, if I was a player, I feel like I'd be so nervous to like jump for a ball.
I'm like, don't tell me there's not some loss of spring there. There has to be some way that place is less springy than the next court.
Yeah.
Just with the give that floor has to have. Hey, I wanted to say about the media day, Roddy Gale, that dude should have legally had to be one of the two Michigan representatives.
I know, dude.
That was crazy.
You can't get away with bringing both your 7-footers and not bringing the dude that transferred from the rival school to the other school, right?
Oh, no way. He had to be there. It's just, yeah, the easy way out they took with bringing those two big men, which I was pumped to hear him talk about how he is going to be utilizing those big men, because that makes me think that Indiana and them could have some really fun matchups this season between those two going up with, if they're going too big, we have to stick Malik and Umar down there. And I could really see those being some fun games this year.
Yeah, that was actually probably my biggest takeaway from the entire event was, you know, Dusty May being willing to go so into, you know, Danny Wolf and Vlad Golden are going to be playing together quite a bit. I mean, I don't know if he ever like officially announced they're going to be starting together, but he definitely made it sound like they would be starting together to start the season, which I want to see that. I want to see how you put 2 7-footers together down there, especially in a conference where some teams try to get away with a smaller four, so that way they can kind of be a little more speedy around the court and have some outside shooting. I'm really excited to see how it matches up against Ohio State, because Ohio State's going to have Bradshaw and Stewart both on the outside quite a bit because of their perimeter shooting. It really sounds like they're going to be trying to open up the paint as much as possible. So what is Michigan going to try to do to counteract that? Are they going to go to zone? You know, are they going to keep playing man? I don't know. Like, what are they going to do to counteract that? I think it's going to be really interesting to see this season. And I appreciate that Dusty May was willing to be so open about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
John asked us a question here, Burke. He says, who would y'all say is the most underrated team in the league this year, in your opinion? Well, let's bring the media poll back up, because this is probably the best barometer we have for this. I guess let's start with 11 on down. Burke, who do you feel like is 11th or worse that has a good chance to finish in the top half of the Big Ten this season?
I'm going to tell you who has been my answer for every season for like the last three seasons, and that is Maryland at number 10. But I just cannot do it again this year. I always am such a believer in Maryland, and they let me down time after time. Yeah.
You need to get on the Kevin Willard hate train with me and Phillip. So we do not like Kevin Willard, and neither does Kent. So
hey. Maryland, yeah, it's all right. We just beat them in football, so we got the bragging rights right now. Again, it's nice beating people in football. You guys, I don't get many of these. I'm going to celebrate my September. As far as who's underrated?
Yeah, if I was going to pick one, I'd probably go with Northwestern just because Chris Collins has done it the past few seasons. Now they don't have, Boo Booey, and I think that was a big piece of it. But I do like the oh, there we go. Phillip is agreeing with me there. Northwestern is underrated. Chris Collins. I think it's be really interesting to see, was it all Boo Booey, or was Chris Collins really kind of in his bag with his coaching and doing the stuff that he was able to do? It's going to be really interesting to see. I believe in Chris Collins. I think Chris Collins is a good coach. I think that he just needed to kind of get used to the program a little bit when he first got there, and I think that he's going to do a good job. I'm not predicting to finish like second like they did, a few years ago, but I definitely think they could be a top half Big Ten teams, finish 7th, 8th. I think 16th is just far too low.
Then, just looking at the coach, I think Ben Johnson is a good coach. I do. I think the Minnesota program and the support he has is abysmal. I think that everybody that he will develop, everybody that he ever will develop, if things stand as they are, will be gone, just much like Pharrell Payne and Elijah Hawkins. I think that they're underrated just because I think he can get play out of guys.
Yeah.
I think he teaches toughness. They play hard. They play hard. And if you play enough hard games, like sometimes it isn't always the talent coming out on top on that. Like I think that they can do better than 18th. Again, USC has 11 guys coming into LA. I genuinely think that they are not going to, I think they might finish last.
Yeah. Teams that Minnesota will finish in front of: Penn State, Washington, Nebraska, Wisconsin. They will definitely finish above those three teams, in my opinion. I don't know about USC just because I am so like, I don't know what to do with the transfers. I do think bringing in 11 transfers in Los Angeles, it doesn't sound like a good idea, but I also think Eric Musselman is one of the better coaches in this conference. What he's been able to do at Arkansas and what the possibility of what he can do at USC. I don't think it's going to be this year, but at the same time, I also can't doubt somebody I perceive to be a good coach. And I don't perceive Greg Gard to be a good coach. I don't perceive Mike Rhodes to be a good coach. I don't perceive Danny Sprinkle to be a good coach. I think Fred Hoiberg has been a good coach in the past, and he was a good coach last year. But last year you also had a lot of seniors that left, and you don't have Rank Mass this year. So, you have Juwan Gary coming back. That's good. But, what's this team going to look like compared to last year? There's a lot of pieces that are no longer on this team. You picked up a Sejan and Griffiths, players that, many had high hopes for last year, but kind of faltered. So he's going to have to turn
around. But again, speaking of them, like, can we spin this into speaking on Rutgers a little? Sure. Just speaking on those guys, like Griffiths leaving. Griffiths was at the time like their highest recruit of all time, right? Before they went out and got these two guys. You would think that that would be a really awesome piece to have coming in with these two freshmen. Let alone that, your senior leadership with Clifford Omorui, Mawat Mag having just a stellar season defensively. The like identity of that team saw the most hyped season in Rutgers history coming down the line, and then looked for the next exit. I want to know a little bit about what's going on there. Why? I mean, it just has to be a hyper focus on these freshmen, which to their credit, they've earned a bit with just like what they've been able to do in high school. But it says something to me that Clifford Omorui, yeah, of course it says he wants $2 million, but it's just so weird that all they have 18. I think you said 18% of their record or their roster still there.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say the same thing about Rutgers that I said at the end of last season, because it's still my concern. Can Steve Peichel coach offense? I mean, he's very, very good at getting defense out of his players, but he's never really had a good offense at Rutgers. And I'm sorry. I know Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey are very, very good, but this is also not, you know, college basketball from 10 years ago where freshmen come in and they dominate the entire thing. And you have the Kentuckys and the Dukes of the world that have, you know, four freshmen starting going to the national championship game. It just isn't, you know, yeah. This is, you know, you have a lot more transfers. You have a lot more guys moving around. You still have guys getting like fifth, 6 years in some cases. And when you're going up against 24-year-olds, 18-year-olds, albeit very talented, like there's a reason why when these guys get to the NBA and they're 18 years old, they don't look quite the same as when they are playing against 14 and 15-year-olds, because they're playing grown men. And, you know, 24, it's pretty close to grown man from as big as you're going to get. Now, they're not 30 yet, but still, like, that's pretty grown man. So, I mean, I'm really interested to see, number one, what is the culture of this team? Is it all just freshman-based? Because if it is, that doesn't sound great to me. And then number two, what will Steve Peichel do with this offense? If he can alleviate my concerns and coach offense well, then I think they have a real shot at being a top-five team in this conference. But if Steve Peichel can't coach offense, you're looking at probably the number 9, 10, or 11 team in this conference.
Yeah, I was going to say just on that back half of the clump that comes every year, just in the middle. But yeah, it's but speaking on like his offense, if there is two players in the country who are freshmen that you like and their positions, like if you don't coach offense for them, it might be these two guys who would be the two that could succeed in not having a coach offense. Like if there was two players who you're like, just go do it, like these two guys might be it, which their ceiling is high, but it's just their median where it's most likely to fall. Just it ain't there for me.
For sure. If these were any other freshmen, I'd say no way, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, I'm like, okay, I don't think this is going to work with freshmen, but these are also two insanely talented players that, you know, even if Rutgers is bad, they're still going to get theirs in the Big Ten because they are just that good of players. So,
yeah.
Burke, we do have Johnny talking about Umar Ballo a little bit. Of course, he's a UCLA fan, so he's seen Umar Ballo coming in from Arizona. He's a little concerned. He says, IU's roster is legit, but Umar Ballo might be the most overrated player in the entire country. Wow. Saw him for the past two seasons, and he's a smidge better than meh. Don't get it. I will say I do have a concern about Umar Ballo with the minutes that he plays. I think that when he was in and playing minutes, he did a very good job. However, that is in a conference in the Pac-12 that is undersized some more at times. But I would also point to Mike Woodson and what he did with Khalil Ware, right? Khalil Ware also came from the Pac-12 and didn't look so hot at times. And then he comes to Indiana and turns into a 15th overall pick and goes to the Heat. So, I mean, I don't know. I can see where John is coming from, but I also look at IU and say, Mike Woodson's in his bag when he gets a very high potential big man who just hasn't met his potential yet. What's your thoughts, Burke?
Where'd you say Johnny was coming from? He's been watching Umar.
Yeah, he's a UCLA fan, so been watching
him. Right. I'll give you credit for the years of watching him, but I watched him in one game, and it was a game in which he was head-to-head with Trace Jackson Davis. If you haven't heard about him, he's kind of a legend around these parts.
TJD over in Bloomington.
TJD, just record holder for rebounds in Indiana history, like real big time baller. Umar Ballo got 15 rebounds on him. Like it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Umar's bringing a tenacity. He's bringing just brutality. And I welcome it. And the lesser minutes, we also welcome that, because what does that mean? That means McKenzie might have to play the four. That means McKenzie's sliding down and our four's getting faster. We're opening the floor more. And by opening the floor, that's when Malik Renu really gets to do what he does best, and that's the footwork, the spin moves down low, really just making the most of the space he's given. And I think it all works. I think, he has limitations, but they work for us. What?
I said, does McKenzie want to play the four, though?
No, not at all. But at some point, if we're starting to pay him enough money, dude, you just got to do it.
Here's the green, dude. Go do it.
I will say it is promising, and Ant Wright brought it up on X. He said, when asked how much Umar Ballo and Malik Renu were going to be on the floor together, he said, I don't know. And like that could be looking into it too much, but really that does speak volumes. It means he doesn't know. Like usually he would just give the vanilla response and it would be done. But him saying, I don't know, is something he doesn't do often, which tells me that he's actually thinking about it, that they're actually contemplating. And there are different rotations that are seeing this floor. And while his time will be limited, I want every bit of nastiness that comes with Umar Ballo's game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's be really interesting to see how Umar's game goes in the Big Ten. I think that he has a tenacity and an aggression to his game that is going to serve him well in the Big Ten. But we'll see. It's going to be really, really interesting to watch and see. Philip has his thoughts on Ballo. He says, if Ballo is the center of Indiana's game plan, they won't come close to reaching their potential. Mbako has to take the big step forward for Indiana to reach potential. I mean, I've always thought like Mbako has to be the guy on this team. Like, not that I'm saying Ballo can't be, but like Mbako has to be the guy, right? Like Indiana's not going to succeed with only a big man running this team, right? Like, not saying he can't, I'm just saying like Mbako is obviously more of that player.
No, absolutely. Indiana set itself up to open the floor far more. It isn't just going to be running through him. If it is running through anybody in the front court, even more than Ballo, I would say it would be when Malik's on the floor, because offensively, I would say Malik is more talented than Ballo. Defensively, Ballo all day, but offensively, Malik gives us that look, and it will be Miles. Thanks, John. It will be Miles doing a lot of that cooking, but everyone's been saying Indiana didn't address the shooting. Indiana absolutely addressed the shooting. You're talking about Miles Rice. Yeah, it was weak shooting. When you go through chemo, I imagine your legs are the first thing to go, and leg strength has to be, I mean, of the utmost importance to a repeatable shot from beyond the arc. That, as well as Kenan Carlisle, who won't have to play so much of the primary ball handler. He shoots above 40% when coming off the ball, which they just never mention. They never love mentioning that when they mention how Mike Woodson still hasn't addressed his shooting. And then Mackenzie Mbako.
You got
what? Yeah, Luke. Yeah, but they also just don't even mention that. Yeah. They want to hate us, dude. And guess what? It's only going to get worse because we have a football team now.
They want us to be daunted, but we
want to, dude, try again. No.
Philip says, well, Woodson let them shoot threes, though.
We are shooting threes all day, dude. That is Mackenzie and Baco's gonna light it up. It's gonna be placed set up for him.
Indiana last year, it was more like I think at the end of the season, Woodson just didn't trust Xavier Johnson hardly at all.
No,
and day, he was like, just get the ball down low, give the ball to Mbako, Ware, and Renu as quickly as possible, because those are the guys that we need given the ball
to. There was that stretch of games, man.
Which watching that team last year, I couldn't really blame him, because whenever the ball was in their hands, things turned out much, much better when it was in Xavier Johnson's hands.
Yeah, just a stagnant backcourt that Indiana absolutely addressed. And that stagnant backcourt was why we absolutely had – it was Kalel Ware. It was spam Kalel Ware. Oh, Kalel Ware, are you going to win us this game? That was the question I asked every day.
Yeah. Kalel Ware, will you be our hero? Well, maybe.
Yeah, no, now we got the backcourt to make the plays, to move the ball around, to find Mackenzie open. Because that is Mackenzie's bread and butter this season. Mackenzie will be open. Everyone who thinks Mackenzie needs to take the leap, I will say again, he took the leap over the course of his freshman year. Any leap on top of this is just icing on the cake, and that is when it's going to be something crazy.
Well, we saw him get better last year, so I think there's definitely that possibility. So, I definitely think it's likely that it will happen, because we saw that leap start to happen at the end of the year, and I think he's just going to be in a better offense this year with more capable backcourt. So, all right, let's talk about a few other things before we get out of here. Burke, anything else that stuck out to you at Media Days? We've talked a little bit of Purdue. I'm trying to see if there's anybody else we haven't talked about.
Izzo. Let's talk about Izzo. Dude. Oh, we need to talk about how curmudgeon-y he was.
He was in a bad mood.
Dude, he was so grumpy. Grumpy Uncle Izzo, so funny.
Well, and like he was like calling out the fans at one point and stuff, talking about Xavier Booker. Like at the very beginning of that that like meeting they had, what's it called? When he was it was just him and the two players being interviewed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Breakaways.
He's like, oh yeah, Xavier Booker, he put on 14, 15 pounds. And for everybody that thought we weren't using him right last year, well, maybe we'll use him right this year. Who knows? And I'm like, dude, Tom, is it like, dude, you can't be happy that insecure. Like you cannot be that insecure that you have to reference the fans in the middle of this. Like, I don't know. I just
For me, it was when Dana Altman was like, yeah, it's a difficulty managing these guys nowadays, like blah, blah, blah. And then he goes out of his way to be like, yeah, man, they're coming in entitled. And I'm like, Jesus. Tom Izzo is so done with college basketball, man. Michigan State fans don't want to hear it, but I don't know why they wouldn't.
Yeah,
They have the fan base to go make a ruckus in the transfer portal. And yeah.
I mean, I do think Frankie Fiddler is going to do a really good job for him this year. I was surprised at how little Frankie Fiddler was mentioned in the stuff, which kind of gives me some concern. Like, I mean, have they been practicing and Frankie Fiddler's not been doing well or what? Like, and I don't know, he might be doing well, but it might just be Tom Izzo refusing to play a guy because he doesn't give enough effort or something. Like, I don't know. It's weird. It does feel like Xavier Booker is going to be a much bigger piece of this team this year, a more focal point. I mean, he's talked about Jaden Akins multiple times, talking about how he needs to, you know, step up, be the leader, be kind of the star player for this team. He didn't say the word star player, but he kind of insinuated that. And then I was also kind of concerned. He wasn't really mentioning Fears all that much. So that kind of gives me some pause. I projected Fears to be the starting point guard on this team, but Kent disagreed with me and thought, I forget who he said. I think he thought it was going to be Akins as the starting point guard. I feel like you need Fears to be the dude, but I don't know. Maybe it is going to be Akins. What do you think, Burke?
I don't know enough about Fears' recovery. Like,
yeah,
that's what gives me concern is,
like, if he was recovering well, I feel like Izzo would have mentioned him more. But like,
and like,
I don't think I heard him once other than like talk about taking the step to a sophomore year. Like, I don't think I heard him mention Fears once other than that.
As far as gun injuries go, I know that.
Well, yeah, those
they have to be varying degrees. So like, I have no idea what Jeremy Fears is going to be, how ready he is, how.
Well, and how like it impacted his development and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know. Johnny says, surprised there are so many folks in the Big Ten that are over Izzo. Dude, almost, I mean, you can tell me if I'm wrong.
But I'm not. I love it. Like, I love it. Of the Big Ten, so. I love to hate it, man. I don't even hate it anymore. It's just funny.
Like, at this point, I think 60% of Michigan State fans want Izzo to move on as well.
Yeah, if I was a Michigan State fan, I would find this extremely disrespectful and just crazy. But, like, dude, we're all going through this. It's growing pains. Like, you got to adjust. You talked about Fiddler. I really think I wanted to bring up, how does Great Osabor get the benefit of the doubt moving conferences when his skill set actually would – I would think it would mean that he's going to have a less of a successful conversion than the skill set that Fiddler was using with Omaha. Like, you would his skill set would translate better to the conference than what Great Osabor's bread and butter is for production.
Yeah, no, totally. I totally agree with that. Great Osabor, like, he is going to have to really bulk up in order to continue doing what he was doing. Obviously, he's going to be dominant with how strong he is, but you know, is he going to be dominant to the same degree that he was, you know, what was it, at Utah State? Like, it's a much smaller conference with much smaller guys than the Big Ten. So, you know, I don't think he is just a strong guy. I've watched some of his game, and I think he has other aspects of his game. I think that he has a good mind for the game. I think he has pretty good footwork at times. But at the end of the day, like, I'm with you. Like, I think Frankie Fiddler's game transitions better to the Big Ten and what he can do. Rather than Great Osabor. Now, Great Osabor might make me eat my words, but I'm just saying, like, looking at it from the outside looking in, I would have projected a guy like Frankie Fiddler would do better than a guy like Great Osabor. But you know, he made $2 million. So
hey, I want to bring up you got something. Can I bring up something?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Illinois, Benham Rickhouse.
He's gonna
be solid, dude. Yeah, I just had on 2 episodes ago the State of Basketball pod. They cover every single college team in the state of Indiana. So like they've been monitoring Ben since he was at Huntington. They watched him go to Evansville. They've had him on the show multiple times, and they've like actually talked to him about like what he took that role at Illinois for. And it was exactly what Brad Underwood alluded to, which is he's going to come in for his size and shooting. It sounded like he tested the NBA waters based on my discussion with those guys. But it came back with the role he needs is a spot up shooter on the arc with some size. And that's the role that he's going to be looking to play in this Illinois team. And I think the way I wasn't that high on him initially, but the way these dudes sold him, man, I think they're getting something pretty special in him. I was easily convinced by these guys' pitch.
Totally. And I think that he is exactly the type of player that Brad Underwood wants to take in and kind of get creative with and do something pretty interesting with. You know, I mean, Brad Underwood is not like Mike Rhodes, where he's like, we're going to be different. But he is somebody who gets players who have a unique skill set for their size. And he says, I'm going to find a way to use you in a creative way, not necessarily a different way, but in a creative way that helps our offense in different ways. And I agree with you. I think that he is going to be special for this team. I don't know if he would be special for every team. I just have to give Brad Underwood credit with, you know, what he's done with certain players and, you know, seeing him do that with other players. I think he's going to do the same thing with Humerkaus.
About Illinois is there's a lot of room for those special players to reveal themselves. There's going to be so much opportunity up for grabs on that roster.
Do you think that's why Luke Goody left? Like,
I would think that he would want to stay if that was the case. Like,
but I mean, he's a spot up shooter who, like, he has good size, but like, you can't really do much. It's disrespectful to say it that way about Luke. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to him. He just doesn't have like a unique part of his game that goes with another part of his game that Brad Underwood would like to feature. You know, like Brad Underwood like to bring him in for good free throw shooting and spot up shooting, which has a place. But I feel like, you know, Luke Goody probably looked around and he was like, I'm going to have a much bigger role to actually do what I'm good at in Indiana, you know, and that's where I'm from, rather than a place like Illinois where they're going to try to get creative and get cute with doing different things with different guys. And I'm going to possibly, you know, fall back into the rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. I was trying to wrap my head around what you meant initially, but yeah, I agree with you totally.
Okay. All right. Philip says Underwood will try to fit the scheme to the players, doesn't try to fit players into the scheme. Right. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, yep. I think he looks at his players and says, you are able to do this. And so we are therefore going to use you in that way. And he's going to try to find other players to fit around with their special skill sets as well. So, and that's one thing that I really like about Brad Underwood and what he does. So, yeah. And of course, the closer to Indiana, his family, stuff like that. Obviously that played a factor as well for Goody. So, let's see. I think that's about it for what we got for comments. Didn't get any calls. That's all right. Well, we might do this again another time and see if we get any calls. But Burke, we appreciate you being here tonight, man. You have any more takeaways or anything you want to mention before we get out of here?
No, it's an awesome time to be a Hoosier fan. If you guys want to follow me, you probably don't if you're not a Hoosier fan, but nonetheless, at Often Daunted across all socials, I record a podcast, just went to video. So all you Hoosier fans, go ahead and give me a follow there. All of you who aren't, go ahead and give me a follow, retweet me, hate on it. Whatever the case, I'll take the engagement.
Yeah, no, totally. At the very least, go follow Burke, because then that way you'll know more about what's going on over at IU. Even if you don't like it, you can know more about what's going on and scout your opponent. So,
and I'm a pretty good gauge on just how obnoxious Indiana football fans are getting.
Yeah, I feel like we got a good thumb on the pulse for that.
So. There you go. I'm your boots on the ground, man.
Philip says I would have, but couldn't tonight. All right, no worries. Might have.
Hey, it's I'm all thinking good. About,
so. I mean, you guys tell me in the comment section because we're about to get off here, but I'm thinking about this year, like having one or two basketball episodes and then possibly just like going live for a call-in show after, you know, games and stuff like that at night and just kind of letting people talk about the games and stuff like that. I don't know if anybody would want to do that. I know people do that with football all the time and it, you know, they get tons of viewers and stuff like that doing that. So I don't know if people would want to do that for basketball or not, but, you know, we'll see. But anyway, Philip, I hope Indiana loses to Northwestern. JR knows why. I hear you. I hear you. Lock it in, Indiana minus 14. I need it to be much bigger than that. Otherwise, I am going to be losing on a bet that I should not have made. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching. We appreciate it. Thanks, Burke, for coming on. Go follow Burke over at Often Daunted, either on social media or over listening to his podcast. We appreciate everybody being here. Have a good one, and we'll see you next time.